Around the holidays, I always try to preach messages that that are appropriate with the holidays. And you might not think, as we read the passage of Scripture tonight, that this is a Christmas message. But I believe it is a Christmas message. As I said this morning, I believe that God has put the Christmas message in every book of the Bible. And this is a time of year that, as some testified tonight, that we get together with our friends and our families. I believe it's a time of year that if there's anybody in our life that we're not close to, that we should be close to, it ought to be the time of the year to mend those relationships, get rid of those things that may stand between us, and be close to the people that God wants us to be close to, that He's put in our life to be close to. And so tonight I'm going to preach a message, how to be close. It's a simple message, but I think it's a message that, again, we need to hear this time of year. Some of you, as I have observed your relationships, are already doing these things. And so for you, it'll just be an encouragement to continue doing what you're doing. For others, there may be one or two that you haven't thought of that you might put into practice in your relationships with those people that God has put in your life. I don't think anybody comes into our life by accident. I think they are directed, and we are directed by God, that our paths cross, and we're in each other's lives for a purpose. And I think there's people that God puts in our life that He wants us to be close to. There are things that happen to close relationships that cause those relationships not to be close. And tonight, I think Paul gives us a little formula for how to make those relationships close again. I was talking to a man that has recently come back to our church, and he was asking me the question. He said, preacher, he says, what do you think the secret is to the growth of your church? And I'll tell you the answer I gave him in a moment. Some people might say it's because we have, you know, nice buildings. We didn't always have nice buildings, but we have some nice buildings that we need to be thankful for to God tonight. I can remember when we first came. We had some Sunday school rooms upstairs, and the rest of them were in the small fellowship that we had. We had two small bathrooms, and anytime we had a dinner, the place was packed, and people waited in line to go to the bathroom because they were so small. Well, now God has blessed us. We have an auditorium that can seat the largest crowds that we've had. We have a fellowship hall that, even though we fill up, people have plenty of room. We have plenty of bathrooms. I haven't heard any complaints of late of people having to wait in line to go to the bathroom. And so we can be thankful to God for the buildings that He's given us, for the Sunday school rooms we have, for the facilities that we have. We can be thankful to God for the programs that He's given us. Brother Jack mentioned when they first came, there weren't many kids. I think the secret to that has been the Awana program. I think the Awana program, I think, is this our fourth year? Somebody help me. This is our fourth year. I think God has used it. I think He's blessed our church, and we have many more children today than we did several years ago. I think God has blessed our senior ministry, the senior saints. If you would have told me when Brother Wayne and Carol talked to me about starting the ministry of senior saints that we would have times when we'd have over 100 and people would laugh and have fun and look forward to it, I would have said, I don't believe it can happen. But it has happened. God has blessed that ministry. And people look forward to coming to Senior Saints sometimes more than they look forward to coming to church because they have such a good time. I'm thankful for the Women of Joy program and the Ladies of Bible Study on Tuesday morning. We ought to be thankful for the Men's Fellowship. They get together once a month and fellowship. All these are things that have come into existence in the past few years. And you might look at those things and say, that's the secret to the growth that we've seen as a church. But when this man asked me the question, I didn't mention the buildings. I didn't mention the organizations or the ministries that we have. I think there's something more important than having nice buildings, something more important than having programs, something more important than having activities. George told me this morning, he said, preacher, there's one thing I don't like about this church. I said, "What's that, George?" He says, "I've gained 14 pounds since I've started coming here. You guys eat too much." But I think there's something more important than all the dinners that we have. And I think the one thing that draws people to this church and keeps people at this church, because you see, for a church to grow, not only you got to draw people in the front door, you got to keep them from going out the back door. And I think the one thing that, and I this was my answer to him, the one thing that God has blessed us with, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm so emotional today, but I think the one thing that God has blessed us with that has led to the growth that we've experienced the last few years has been the love that we have had for one another as a church family. I think that's what brought people in. I mean, people tell me all the time, said, "Your church is so friendly. We felt so welcome. We felt the love of God through the people here." And I think that has brought them and that has kept them here. 1 Corinthians talks about love, talks about faith, talks about hope, talks about love. It uses the word charity. And Paul says in that chapter in 1 Corinthians that the greatest of these in love is love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another." And so tonight I'm going to give you real simply a little six-point formula that Paul has included in the first seven verses of Philippians chapter 1, how to be close. This formula will work for husbands and wives. It will work for children and parents. It will work grandchildren and grandparents. It will work for a pastor and his people. It'll work for anybody and anyone. If you want to be close to somebody, you can follow this formula, and you'll end up being close to them. Paul wrote the book of Philippians. He wrote it to a church that he started and founded. He was in prison when he wrote this letter, 600 miles away in Rome. And he says, "I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart." What he was saying to the Philippians is, "I love you. You're close to me." Now, it just didn't happen. I mean, the love that Paul had for these people just didn't happen. Paul did some things that caused these people to be in his heart. He did some things that caused him to love them. I've had people say, "Hey, there's people that God has put in my life. There's people in my family that I just can't be close to." And I've told them, I was talking to a guy a couple weeks ago that mentioned something like that, and I knew what I was going to preach tonight. And I said, "Well, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that you can't be close to somebody. I think what you're saying is you've decided to do some things to make you close to some people, and you've decided not to do those things for the people that you don't feel close to. You can make the decision. You can decide." And I submit to you tonight that if we did these six things, we could be close to the people that God has put in our life. We can have them, as Paul says, in our heart. So here they are, six simple things, simple message tonight. Number one, serve them. Serve them. Paul and Timotheus in verse 1, the servants of Jesus Christ to all those that are at Philippi. What Paul was saying to the folks there at Philippi is, "I'm your servant. I founded the church. I led many of you to Christ. But I'm not your boss. I'm not your master. I'm your servant." If you want to be close to somebody, then find ways to serve them. Find ways to do things for them. Find ways to lift their burdens. Find things that they have to do that they may not like to do, and find a way to do those things for them. This will work for husbands and wives. I mean, if you want to get closer to your spouse, serve them. Serve them. And again, I hesitate to use Patty and I as examples because, you know, we're just starting out on our journey together. But I have developed a breakfast sandwich that I think is beyond compare. And I don't know, I haven't kept track of how many days, but there have been many days since we've been married that I have introduced her to that breakfast sandwich, and she likes it, and I serve her by making that sandwich. Now, a simple example, but you can find ways to serve your spouse. You can find ways to serve your parents. You can find ways to serve your grandparents. And parents, you can find ways to serve your children and to serve your grandchildren. And if you want to be close to them, find some way to serve them and do it. Paul says, I have you in my heart. And one of the reasons I have you in my heart is because I'm your servant. I serve you. I found one of the best ways that I can serve folks in our church is to be there in their times of need. I found that when I'm there, when a family member dies, when I go to the hospital and sit with them, when one of their children or grandchildren need to be married, I find that I can serve the folks in this church by being there for them during those times. And being there in those times have put you in my heart. Being there when you have gone to the hospital, being there when you have lost a loved one, being there when, you know, somebody needs to get married has made me close to you, has put you in my heart, has made me love you more. And so if you want to be close to somebody, find a way to serve them. Number two, remember them. Paul said in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I don't think Paul was saying, hey, every time you come across my mind, I thank God for you. I think what Paul was saying is, hey, I have a schedule where I on purpose remember you, and when I remember you, I thank God for you. I think we ought to remember the folks that God has put in our life. You say, Pastor, of course I remember my spouse. I live with them, and I see them every day. Well, that may be true, but do you think about them? Do you thank God for them? Do you thank God for putting them in your life? You may say, hey, my children are still at home, and so I see them every day. But do you think about them? Again, do you thank God for them? Same thing can be said about parents. Same thing can be said about grandparents. Same thing can be said about a pastor and his church. I think about you. And it's not haphazard. I do it on purpose. I have a little routine that I get by myself, and I take our church directory, and I go through it. I look at every picture. There's some people that are not in the directory yet. I've got your names written in the back, and I, on purpose, think about you, and I thank God that he's made you a part of our church. And so if you want to get close to somebody, You set up a schedule. Look, you won't remember everybody in your life without making a list. I had to chuckle when Adam, at our wedding, said, you know something's important to my dad when he puts it on a spreadsheet. Well, I have spreadsheets, and I admit to that, because there are things I want to remember. And so I make a spreadsheet to help me to remember. Now, if you can remember without a list, wonderful. But I found that I have to do it on purpose. I have to set a time, and I have to have a list so that I can remember the people that I want in my heart, that I want to love, that God wants me to love. So remember them. Number three, tell others about them. That's what the word, if you study the word remembrance, that's what it means. It's a two-part. It has a two-part meaning. It means to think about them and to be thankful for them, but to tell others about them. In other words, brag on them. Brag on them. Find something that's good about them and tell somebody else about them. I can't tell you how many people have said since Patty and I have gotten married, so, Pastor, you look happy. Happier than I've ever seen you. And I tell them all, married life agrees with me. Yeah, praise God, Kelly. It does. it does. And again, I'm not going to embarrass Patty tonight, but I brag on her. And I'm not going to brag on her tonight because I don't want to get her to get a big head, but we ought to brag on each other. Look, You can find something about your spouse. You can find something about your children. You can find something about your grandchildren. And as you remember them, take the occasion to tell somebody else about them. There's nothing wrong with bragging on them. I think one of the reasons Brother Wayne is so close to his grandchildren is he brags on them all the time. Judy brags on little Haley all the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Somebody was asking me, who was that young man that was singing so loud this morning? I said, that's Robin's grandson. I can't wait till he gets old enough to sing in a choir. We need some men like that in the choir. But brag on them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Tell other people about them. Tell other people why you're thankful for them. Number four, pray for them. Pray for them. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now, I'm not talking about praying for something in their life to be corrected. I'm not talking about going to God and say, God, you know, so-and-so, he or she just got this terrible problem in their life. It's there because of choices they've made. Would you please help them make better choices? I'm not talking about prayer like that. Now, on occasion, we may need to pray for people like that, but that's not what I'm talking about being close to somebody. I'm talking about praying for them that they'd have joy in their life. Pray for them that they'd have a good day. Pray for them that they get closer to God. Pray for them that their faith would grow. Just pray that their life would be fulfilling the kind of life that God wants them to live. And again, if you want to be close to somebody, put them on your prayer list. Pray for them every day and pray that God would bless them. Number five, believe in them. Believe in them. Paul said in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this morning, the disciples were works in progress. I mean, they didn't have any faith when they went through the storm that we studied in Mark chapter 4 this morning. But God wasn't, and Jesus wasn't done with them yet. He was still working on them. I want you to know, and I mentioned it in Sunday school, I don't believe any of us have arrived yet. I think we can all say like Paul, I have not attained. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still a work in progress. God is still working on me. And so if God has not given up on a person, neither should we. There's too many husbands that have given up on their wives. There's too many wives that have given up on their husbands. There's too many parents that have given up on their children. There's too many children that have given up on their parents. There's too many friends that have given up on other friends. Look, if God is patient, if God is long-suffering, if God is still working on somebody to make them what they ought to be, then I think if we're going to be close to them, we ought to have the same patience and the same confidence that the Apostle Paul had and said when he said, I'm confident that God's going to still keep working on them. I'm confident that God's going to make them into what they need to be. And again, if you want to be close to somebody, have that kind of confidence in them. And then number six, work with them. Work with them. He said in verse 7, ye are partakers. You're sharers in this work. We're in this together. You want to be close to somebody? Find a job to do and do it together. It's true with your spouse. It's true with your children. It's true with your friends. I have grown close to many of the men in this church simply because we have spent time working together. I could start going down the list, but if I went down the list, I wouldn't have time to finish my message, and I'd leave somebody else, leave somebody out. But I can't tell you how much I have enjoyed getting to know people, and men in particular, and putting them in my heart because we've spent time around here doing things together. Again, same thing is true of husband and wife. Same thing is true of children and parents. Same thing is true of anybody that you want to get close to. Is find something to do together, a job that needs to be done, and do it together. So Paul said, I have you in my heart. What he was saying is, I love you. We're close. And I think he gives us a little formula in those seven verses that if we'll practice those six things, that we can be close to anybody that he puts in our life. And again, I commend you because as I look at the relationships that you have, many of you are doing these things already. And so I'd encourage you tonight, just keep it up. Just keep it up. And hopefully I've mentioned one or two things that you could add to your list to help you be closer to those people that God wants you to be close to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the practicality of it. Thank you for telling us how to not only get saved, not only to get our sins forgiven, and Father, you tell us how to do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight that if there is somebody here that has never received Christ, they're still under the condemnation of sin, still under the judgment of sin, that they'll understand there's nothing that they can do on their own to take care of that sin. They need to come to the one that paid for it, the one that went to the cross, the one that his body was broken and his blood was shed to pay for the sins of mankind. And because Jesus did that, he can offer the gift of salvation to every person. And so if there's just even one person here tonight that's never received that gift, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd convict them of their sin, you'd point them toward the Savior, and tonight they would make that decision to receive Christ. So thank you for the Bible being a practical a book that tells us how to be saved, but thank you for it also being a practical book for telling us how to live, how to have the relationships that you want us to have in this life. And I pray that we could follow the example of the Apostle Paul. You brought people into our life that you want us to be close to. Help us not to let circumstances and disagreements and things break those relationships and we not enjoy the blessing of the closeness of that person that you brought into our life. And so, Father, speak to our hearts where they need to be spoken to tonight. Show us some things where we need to see them and just use your word in a way that only you can. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speak to us. If there's something we need to do, something we need to decide, help us to decide to do it tonight. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.